Hallelujah. Christ is risen. That was a test, basically. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Well, what a glorious morning. Summer has come. Well done for all being here. I used to love the days before we all had digital stuff with our phones and our watches, which changed automatically, you know. So, because it used to be on this day when the clocks change, at this point, people would begin rolling up. And that just doesn't happen anymore. It's very disappointing for me. My name is David McCarthy. I am the newly installed thing, rector thing of West Hill Community Church. I've been here a month and just still learning your interesting ways and discovering how it all goes and discovering what an interesting group of people come to West Hill Community Church. Someone said to me this morning, the drummer actually came to me this morning and said, "What is this?" And I said, "It's a candle." She said, "Well done." That bit of the conversation didn't actually happen. But we've been kind of trying to keep Easter this year. Monday, Thursday, we gathered in here. We had communion together. And we remembered the Last Supper. Jesus with his disciples. Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Good Friday, we gathered at, with our brothers and sisters from the Catholic Church and from the Church of Scotland and Trinity Church. And we remembered the events of the crucifixion. And then on Saturday, last night, we did something a little bit different that I don't think has ever happened here before. Lots of churches don't do it. We did an Easter vigil. And basically, we rehearsed the whole of salvation history from the very beginning, as it's told in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, right the way through to the New Testament. And part of that begins with the lighting of this candle. We began outside. We lit a fire. And the idea is that this is the new fire of the resurrected Christ coming into the midst of his people. And so we have this candle, and it's called, we call it the Christ candle. And it kind of represents the person of Jesus, the risen Christ in our midst, up front and center. Whenever you see the light, Jesus is the light of the world. We're reminded of him. And in this church, that's paramount. That's the most important thing about who we are as God's people, that Jesus is front and center. He's at the heart of all that we do. So when we see this candle, it will burn, I think, all the way up to Pentecost Sunday. And when you see the candle, I hope that it will remind us of Jesus, the light of the world in our midst. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Let's turn to God's Word together. If you've got a Bible, you might want to open it up to John chapter 20. No slides this morning, so it means that you won't get distracted. You'll have to listen to the preacher. So let's turn to John chapter 20, and we're going to really discover the story of Mary Magdalene this morning. We're going to focus in on her and what happened to her experience of the risen Lord Jesus. Let me begin with a question. The question is this: have you ever been lost? Now, again, in this digital age, there's no reason for us to get lost, because we all have our phones, don't we? And we all have Google Maps. If you're really a gadget kind of person like me, you even have something called the Ordnance Survey Maps on your phone. I have these. It's invaluable as I wander around the fields and the paths of Aberdeenshire. I can open up my Ordnance Survey map, and it keeps me from ever getting lost. Do you believe that? It's not true. Even the Ordnance Survey get it wrong. Did you know this? Don't trust your Ordnance Survey maps. So we're out for a walk yesterday. Lovely walk. Did you see the rainbow? Amazing rainbow over Aberdeenshire yesterday. It was great. We were reminded of it last night when we had the reading, which reminded us of the rainbow that represents God's covenant. The most vivid rainbow I have ever seen. Gorgeous walk. We're walking through Gask Woods or Garlogie Woods, one of the two. We're walking through them. And I'm saying, Ordnance Survey say, there's a path just over here. So we're wandering through this, what we thought was a path, towards what we thought was another path. Ali's saying, not so sure this is a path. I'm saying, but it's on the map. It's on the map. It must be. And we walk and we walk and we walk and we walk. And Ali eventually does the thing that she often does. I go no further. For there is no path. And she was right, as she so often is. There was no path, but it said on the map, there is a path. No path. So don't trust everything. I mean, this might be a whole new revelation to you, but everything that you read on the internet, everything that you read on your digital device might not be right. Who knew that this was the case? But it is true. Have you ever been lost? Well, I was well and truly lost yesterday, but eventually found the right path again. I say that because when we hear the story of Mary Magdalene, what we're hearing is the story of someone who is lost. Maybe not physically lost, but emotionally lost. Lost because all that she thought was true seemed to not be the case anymore. She was lost. Jesus finds Mary when she is lost. You see, that she and the disciples, the other disciples, thought that they had a plan. They thought they knew what Jesus was all about, when in fact they didn't. Verse 9 of John chapter 20 makes that clear. They didn't understand the scriptures which pointed to the resurrection, that Jesus had to die and rise again. Scriptures like Psalm 16 and verse 10, or from Isaiah 53 in verses 10 to 12. Take notes, you can look at them later, no time to go there this morning. But scripture clearly, the whole of the Old Testament actually points to Jesus dying and rising again, that this had to happen. Verse 9 of John chapter 20 tells us the disciples hadn't a clue. They'd spent, as Charles reminded us, 3 years listening to Jesus, but they were still clueless about who he was, what he was about, and what was going to happen. They just didn't get it. They were lost, and Mary in particular was lost. But Jesus comes, encounters her, meets with her, and gives us a new direction and tells her to find the others. So I wonder this morning, in the midst of all of this complexity of this world, whether there's any of us who knows that you're lost, who feels a little bit lost. Know this right at the beginning of what is shared this morning. Know that if you feel like that, if that's how you are feeling this morning, know that Jesus has found you. Jesus loves you and he wants to give you a purpose. Those of us who are older and jaded and we've done Easter 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 100 times, we could so easily come to the events of Easter and not be as excited about them as we were maybe when we started out on the journey. We too need to know that we have been lost, that we are lost. We are lost without him, and we need him, but he has found us. Mary Magdalene was lost emotionally. Now, we don't know much about Mary Magdalene. Some traditions suggest that she might have been a prostitute. Other traditions suggest she was secretly married to Jesus. None of that is in Scripture. We don't know very much about her. What we do know is that she had demons. She had not one, but seven demons controlling her life. But Jesus came to her and cast out the seven demons. So if there's anyone in the Bible who knows the loving power of Jesus in their life, it is Mary Magdalene. Because she had been oppressed and controlled by the evil one, and she encounters Jesus, and Jesus sets her free. That's what Jesus does. He sets people free from those demons that bring lostness. And she followed Jesus. She loved him and she followed him. But now Jesus is dead. Jesus is gone. This man whom she followed and whom she loved is no more. Many of the disciples desert Jesus or even deny Jesus. But there are the women who don't do that. The women who gather at the cross. The women who watch him get buried. They see the dead body being put into the tomb. This man who had saved Mary, whom she'd left whatever she had in order to follow him, was really and truly dead. She'd seen it with her own eyes. She'd experienced it. The miracle of Easter isn't that Jesus escaped death. He didn't escape death. Some people would try and tell you Jesus didn't really die on the cross, but he definitely died. And Mary Magdalene knew it. But she had something that kept her going. Often this is the case when you lose someone close to you that you love, you kind of find an energy in order to keep going. And her energy was this, as it often is the case for people, and particularly women, she had a mission to fulfill. She had a mission that she took on, something to keep her busy, anything to keep her busy in the midst of the grief. Her mission was this, to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. That was the tradition. The other gospel accounts tell us that Mary wasn't alone. She had other women with her, and they'd gone early in the morning to anoint Jesus for burial, the ceremonial custom that they hadn't been able to finish on a Friday, and they couldn't do it on the Sabbath. So first thing in the morning, Mary wakes up to finish the job. But then there was a problem. They arrive, the stone was rolled away, and the body wasn't there. So Mary has to have a change in plan, a change of purpose. Her mission is not to put spices on a body. Her mission is to tell the disciples, disciples, something has gone wrong. John tells us that she runs to find them. Can you imagine that? I just have that picture in your mind. Mary rushing to find the disciples to tell them. And when she does tell them, they have taken the Lord and we don't know where they have put them. Peter and John, the disciple that Jesus loved, decide that they do what men will often do. Let's have a race. Let's have a competition. And they're racing to get to the tomb. And off they go, men being men, we're going to solve this, we're going to get it right, we're going to put it right, something's gone wrong, we will put it. Men are very good at doing that, aren't they? Men? What, sorry, women? You know, we want to solve it, we want to put it right. When sometimes that's not just the simple answer that you need to, it's partly about listening, first and foremost, so I'm told. And the men rush off to try and solve this, and they arrive there, and they find that the body is gone, but the grave clothes remain. John points out that not only did he beat Peter to the tomb on foot, he also beat Peter to the belief that Jesus rose again from the dead. But he gives that aside, that he didn't really understand from the scripture all that Jesus had accomplished. And Mary follows them back. Mary's a little bit slower. She doesn't run as fast as the men. That's why we have men and women doing different sports these days. But Mary follows them back. And we have to assume she was some way behind because of the racing. So we don't know when she arrived. And what was happening when she arrived? Were they still looking in the tomb? Were the boys still looking in the tomb? Had they already left by the time she got there? We're not sure. But anyway, what we do know is that Mary is lost again. She's alone in the garden, wondering what to do next. And as a grieving person, she does what all of us do, generally all of us do, when we are grieving the loss of something or someone. Mary is weeping. Perfectly understandable, a human reaction. And we're told so much about this weeping, she must have been weeping really quite hard. She's weeping. Four times the text emphasizes Mary is weeping. Did you notice that? Verse 11, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, and one at the head and one other at the foot. And they asked her, "Women, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him." Verse 15, he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" So Mary is weeping, tears upon tears upon tears. She's not alone, though. She's not physically alone, because she looks in the tomb, she sees these two angels, and they ask her that question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now, maybe they're asking that question, a kind of rhetorical question, that not looking for an answer. "Hey, Jesus is alive. What reason is there to cry? Why are you crying? Jesus is still around. He's come back." And sometimes when someone is crying close to you, if you've ever had children, and children sometimes do that uncontrollable crying. You ever experienced that? Uncontrollable, unconsolable, weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping. Actually, that's not a child. That's what I do most days. And it's just, there's nothing you can say, nothing you can do. You can ask all the questions. "Why are you crying? Can you tell me why you're crying? Can you tell me what happened? Are you okay?" Mary is almost inconsolable facing what she faces. And notice how Mary responds. It's the second time that she's conveyed the understanding of what is actually happening with the disciples. She says, "They've taken the Lord and we don't know." When she's talking to the angels, she kind of phrases it a little bit differently. She doesn't know who these two people are, these two angels are, but she knows that they're not disciples. Maybe they're bystanders. They could even be people who've come to rob the grave. Maybe these are the guys that have taken the body of Jesus. Whoever they are, Mary doesn't include them in the "we." She's not referencing Jesus as our Lord or even the Lord, but she references him as my Lord. She doesn't know if these two people she's talking to understand who Jesus is. They might not be on her side. They might not be with her. They could be the enemy. She's not talking with people who are with her. She's talking to people, but she's really on her own. That's how she feels in the face of this. So she's still in that place of lostness. And then Mary encounters the final person at the grave. She turns and she sees a man. And she thinks this is perhaps the gardener. It's kind of extraordinary, really, that she didn't recognize Jesus. But remember, this is the risen Lord Jesus. And he asks her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" And again, Mary repeats what she thinks to be the situation. But again, she changes the wording. Now it's not "they have taken," but it becomes, "Sir, if you have carried him away," she thinks this is the grave robber. Maybe this is the person who's moved the body somewhere else. It thinks he's a gardener, not necessarily a grave robber, maybe less accusation involved in this conversation. But in any case, she thinks that this is the man who has caused so much distress. Why would you do this? Why would you move the body? And she's a straight-talking Jewish woman. She tells it as it is. Straightforward. Have you ever been in that situation where you're just pumped full of adrenaline, where you lose all sense of fear or caution and just do what needs to be done? Ever been like that? It's a bit like me yesterday when we got lost. Let's just go for it. We'll follow this path, even though there is no path. We'll just go there. I think Mary is responding a bit like that. She's just been really straightforward, really direct. That's the place that Mary is in. "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him. Jesus is dead. We just want his body. That's all we want." She's so focused that she's not only talking to the man who she thinks may have taken Jesus away, she's going to tell him She's going to tell her where Jesus is, and then she's going to single-handedly manhandle him back into the tomb. I just want the body back, is Mary's thought. It's not, where is he? I'll go and get the disciples to help me. It's not, where is he? Those two strangers who showed up in the tomb are going to help drag him back. She says, I will get him. I'm going to sort this out. Mary's convinced that she is all by herself. She's on her own. She's the only one that can sort out this situation. She is completely lost. She's completely and utterly alone. So in a way, this is a really tragic situation that Mary finds herself in. Except we look at this with the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of the recording of all of these events in Scripture. We know the great and the beautiful truth of this amazing moment. And she's about to realize it too. Jesus says one word. One word is all it takes. He says one word to her, and he says this word, Mary. Mary. And at that moment, she knows. This is Jesus. This is the Lord. This is the Master. She knows who he is and what that means. And all her fear and worry and weeping is answered. Her eyes are opened and she sees who it is that's really standing in front of her. She knows it is Jesus. She had been in such a state, her headspace was in such a state. She was prepared to go and haul by herself a dead body. And in an instant, she knows that the man who saved her isn't dead, and she doesn't need to do that. He wasn't defeated. He is alive. And he's there with her, speaking to her, calling her name. And she responds. She calls out, Rabboni, which means my teacher or my master. And she does that thing that when you're in grief, sometimes when grief is released, you just cling to people that you love. And she grabs him and she clings to him so tightly. So tightly, Jesus tells her to stop because there's still work to be done. Don't stop. Don't just stick with this. There's stuff to be done, Mary. Mary was lost. She felt absolutely alone. But in that moment of absolute distress, absolute loneliness, the answer to her problem was standing right in front of her. Not only was Jesus' body not stolen, Jesus wasn't dead. He was there with her in that garden, calling her name. And even though Mary had given herself all sorts of goals and tasks to get sorted out, when Jesus speaks to her, that changes everything. Mary had thought her job that day was to put spices on the body. That was going to be her calling. That was going to be her role. She settled for that. It was good enough for her. Then she thought, well, I need to go and get the disciples to help shift the dead body. Then she thought she was supposed to be single-handedly getting the dead body back into the tomb. Typical, isn't it? We just want to do it all. We can do it all by ourselves and get it all sorted out. It's not just men that are capable of that. Women are quite good at it as well. There's a great equality in all of this. But the thing was, there was no dead body to get sorted out. Why? Because Jesus was alive. And when he reveals himself to Mary, he gives her an even more important job to do. See, the message of Easter is not an empty tomb. Much as we celebrate the empty tomb, the message of Easter Day is a risen Lord in the midst, the light of the world, in the midst of his disciples, in the midst of his people, in the midst of his church. And there's a message and a mission for Mary to give now. Go to my brothers, Jesus says. Go instead to my brothers and tell them. And even in that sentence, Jesus is saying in that verse something really powerful in verse 17. Go instead to my brothers. In the Gospel of John, all the way through, there's been a distinction between Jesus' disciple and Jesus' brothers. Jesus had family members who were his brothers. in other places in John's account. But here, he's clearly talking about the disciples. The disciples have become brothers. And Mary understands that because she goes to tell the disciples. But Jesus now refers to them as his brothers, as he doubles down on that with the statement, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. We are part of the one family. We are united with him. John had told us that he believed that Jesus came back to life when he saw the grave clothes, but what he didn't understand from the scriptures was the significance of what Jesus' resurrection meant. Now Jesus is telling Mary the really important part, the crucial part, because Jesus died and rose again. His followers are no longer just followers, they are brothers and sisters. Because Jesus died and rose again, we no longer worship a God who is distant from us and separate from us. We worship a God who holds us close and calls us his children. We are precious to him. We can speak to him as Lord and God, our Savior. But we can also talk to him as Abba, as our Father. And Jesus shares, even in these few short verses, we read Jesus sharing this amazing truth to Mary Magdalene, and he trusts her to share it with his disciples. You see, they didn't understand from the scripture what Jesus had done. But here he sends Mary to tell them. Sometimes Mary is described as the apostle to the apostles, because she's the one that Jesus sent to tell the disciples that they were actually brothers, to help them understand. It's a really powerful picture, isn't it? Men. That the Lord would use a woman to point them in the right direction. And this one-sentence sermon that Mary announces that Jesus is alive, he's ascending to the Father, and that now all of his followers will have this new relationship. It's a one-sentence sermon that will change the world. So as I come to an end this morning, let me ask some questions. I wonder if you're feeling emotionally lost today, whether you're feeling in that place of isolation, of loneliness. Maybe you're feeling absolutely alone about something in your life. Are you dealing with something that no one else could possibly understand? Is there something going on that is just so difficult? If that is you, then hear this morning. Jesus, just as he called out Mary's name, is calling your name today. But Jesus is calling your name. He wants you to know that no matter how alone you feel, he loves you and he cares for you and he understands, he's near you in what you're facing. Maybe you are full of weeping today. It took every effort on your part to get here today, but inside you are weeping and you're close to tears. That's you, then know this. Jesus is here to comfort you in your struggles. You are not alone. Jesus finds us when we feel lost and alone. Or maybe you're someone who's struggling to find purpose and your calling this morning, as Mary did. Maybe you relate to Mary feeling as she searched around the tomb. Question is, what is it that you're seeking? The world tells us there are all sorts of things that are worth seeking, all sorts of things worth pursuing, all sorts of reasons to have purpose. Maybe you find purpose in your work or your family or your children. And the Bible tells us, seek purpose only in trusting in the Lord who loves us and gave himself for us. You see, Jesus gave Mary a completely different role than the one she was trying to play. That's what God calls us to. Not to settle for what we think is the right thing, because there is nothing more precious than settling for what God has called us to be and to do. That is to follow him and trust in him. There is nothing that can replace that. There is nothing that can fulfill as much as he fulfills. I wonder if we put ourselves in a position to hear Jesus call our name. to allow him to change our life, to give us a fresh and new direction. So this morning, if you don't already know him, know this, he wants to give you a new purpose, a new focus, a new direction. But if you do know him, and you've lost your way, you've lost your direction, he's here today to redirect us. We do not need to remain lost anymore. And then there is something for all of us. Whether we're lost or we know we've been found, there's a message in here this morning for each and every one of us. And it's this. Notice what Mary did right at the end of this passage. She rushes to the disciples. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told him that he said these things to her. She rushes to the disciples as fast as she can to tell them the good news. Jesus is alive and he is giving them a purpose. That is our calling, ladies and gentlemen, is to go and tell others. To go and tell others of the good news that there is hope in the face of the darkness and the trouble of this world. Do you remember how the Bible begins? We were reminded of this last night. It begins in a garden. A garden where many years before this garden that Mary Magdalene found herself in, a woman had been given a job to do by God. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. But that woman was deceived. She embraced death rather than embracing God. Mary Magdalene, in another garden, experiences a lie and untruth that death is the end. A woman is confronted with death again. She's deceived as a cloud of tragedy keeps her from seeing the reality of what has gone on. But this woman doesn't hide. She seeks the Lord, is found by him, and goes out to begin the process of telling the world about the risen Lord Jesus. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth with this good news. That is our job. What a great message it is that we have to share with the world around us, with our neighbors, with our friends. So this Easter day, let us make it our commitment that we won't keep this to ourselves. The risen Lord is here in the midst of his people this morning. The least, the very least we can do is to go and tell others. So let's make that our commitment as we go from here today, to go and tell as Mary went and told her brothers. Let's stand if we're able, and we're going to respond to God's word this morning. Let's stand, and I'm going to invite you to make some kind of response. I want to pray for people this morning who maybe need a little bit of the Lord's help and the Lord's touch. I'm not going to single anybody out in any way or embarrass anyone, but you'll know if the Holy Spirit is working, you'll know that this is for you this morning. So let's pray. Let's close our eyes if you could do that. I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to help us understand at a personal level the message from this morning. Father, we thank you for the witness of Mary Magdalene. Thank you, like all of us, she's confused and she's troubled, she's full of grief. But you just clarified things for her and you made yourself known to her powerfully. I pray for anyone this morning who is here, who maybe has come because it's Easter Day, and it's good to be here on Easter Day and to remember resurrection. But you've got an intellectual knowledge of what Easter is about, but you've never encountered the risen Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, would you make yourself known really powerfully in the life of anyone like that today who doesn't quite know the truth of this, who's never quite met you, and yet you're here today and you want to meet with them. So come, Holy Spirit, and make Jesus known, make the Son known. To those who've never known you before. And may each person know that they are loved and precious to you. Thank you, Lord. Pray for any who are weeping in loss and grief this morning. Thank you, Lord, that for those of us who trust in you, that we come to this place of knowing that death is not the end. That, as I read yesterday about someone, that someone who passed away, that they've just changed their address, they've just changed their postcode to be nearer to Jesus. I thank you for that hope, the resurrection hope that we live in. Because of his resurrection, we too will experience resurrection, that death is not the end. So come, Holy Spirit, and bring comfort to those who are grieving loss, those who are weeping inconsolably. Would you come and console and remind and encourage today? Come, Holy Spirit, minister to your people that resurrection hope so that we are not burdened by grief that is destructive, that holds us back from knowing all that you have for us. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. And then we pray for everyone who's here this morning, all those of us who claim to follow Jesus, who are his followers, who are his brothers and his sisters. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us today. Give us every opportunity this week and in the weeks to come to go and tell others, to let others know, to encourage those who are brothers and sisters already with resurrection hope, with the way that we look and the way that we speak. May we shine with the resurrection light of Christ. And maybe do that with those who don't yet know you. Maybe, Lord, have the confidence to speak your name, to point to the living Lord Jesus who knows us by name. And maybe give that testimony to our family, to our colleagues, to our neighbors, to our friends. Come, Holy Spirit, and equip us with confidence in the gospel message, the good news. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, but rose again so that we could live for eternity in the presence of God, knowing him day by day. So come, Holy Spirit, help us, Lord, to be your people in this place at this time. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.